May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. Our Lord, this is right after the Transfiguration in Matthew 17, and the disciples, three of them, Peter, James, and John, just saw Elijah, and he went away. And so the question comes up, why do the scribes say that he must come first? And it gets at an aspect of the prophet Elijah who kind of, as St. John the Baptist, kind of capitulates all the prophets in the Old Testament. Elijah does the same. The two advents of the Christ, one in history, and St. John the Baptist typologically is this Elijah, and a second advent of Christ at the end of time. And we celebrate both of those in this season of Advent when Elijah will come. And there will be the reconciliation of the Jews into the one fold of Christ's church. And he'll have a lot to do with that. And so we're kind of stretching between the two here in terms of this figure of Elijah. And it's not a great stretch. Thanks be to God. We celebrate St. John of the Cross today as a memorial, who, of course, is the spiritual founder of the Carmelites. And this great first reading in Sirach 48 of terms of Elijah rising like this fire, and his words are like this burning lamp. And it gets at the interior life, because out of all the great stuff that Sirach cites that Elijah did, I bet if you were to ask Elijah himself, the most profound moment of his earthly existence probably came on Mount Horeb with his encounter with the living God. You might remember in 1 Kings 19, when all the calamitous events, the driving wind, rocks being smashed, and then eventually the revelation of God through the still small breeze. And Elijah then hid his face, so to speak. And it gets a very important part of the interior life, which we want to say is a necessary complement to the teaching of St. Peter of Alcantara. And although St. Peter of Alcantara won't deny the teaching of St. John of the Cross, it's not explicated fully enough. And if you recall, some of the teachings of St. Peter of Alcantara on the interior life, great emphasis, the Franciscan school in general, rouse up the affections. Kind of spark this fire, let's get this thing going. And he's very prudent in the advice in terms of you don't force it, and he's also very prudent in the advice when the Lord's doing something else, you pay attention to what the Lord's doing. But St. John of the Cross will, he's called the mystical doctor, and he was given off the charts graces to understand the interior life. So we want to pay attention to, he's been given to the church, that's why he's a doctor of the church, to teach us about the interior life. In one sense, every Franciscan should want to be a Carmelite. I should also say that every religious should want to be a Franciscan. But in terms of delving into the interior, I heard the responsorial psalm today, let us turn to you and let us see your face. And that has everything to do with the call to seraphic perfection, because this turning to the Lord doesn't come up on anything on the natural level. And so just here's St. John of the Cross talking about this very important step. He will first, and this is in the Living Flame of Love on stanza 3, he'll talk about the beginner's stage. And that is what we read about, you know, the assigned reading and how we're supposed to go about discursive meditation and making acts. Work the imagination. Picture yourself in the scene. Make a colloquy with our Lord. It's you working, it's making acts and aspirations during the day, and these the faculties of the soul, the intellect and the will, which are under our control, and which we make acts. And that's modo humano, that's a human mode of prayer, and it's important, and it's a sine qua non, we have to do this, so that basically, especially at the beginning of consecrated life, or even living in the world, the appetites which are drenched or satiated with things of the world, sensual pleasures, have to be stripped from those. They have to be weaned away. And so this step is basically, the logic of it is basically that the appetites are now located on spiritual things. And they find their desire and their great delight in those spiritual things. And you hear about it all the time, but oftentimes people put it in the wrong context. You know, well, at the beginning of my conversion, I was just, you know, swimming in grace and everything was so sweet. Yeah, well, that's normal. That's good. And it's not it. So that's the beginner stage. And St. John of the Cross will then go on with great precision and also great caution of how that's not everything. And just as the appetites are weaned from sensual pleasures of delights to the spiritual things, so too, even those spiritual things, consolations, the soul must be weaned from them. And this is what is described to St. John of the Cross as the via negativa, the negative way, in terms of a complete denudation of the soul, and it's putting to sleep even these faculties, and to enter into what he will call the prayer of quiet. And that's an important turn. And he'll lament at the frequent damage that is done through spiritual direction of not recognizing that, of those that don't have experience in it or who don't appreciate it one way or another, and the great loss that incurs, kind of like going backwards. So he'll say, at times the soul won't be able to meditate. It won't be able to make these acts that it formerly did, nor should it try. But rather, he'll say, and the phrase that he'll put there is to rest in loving attention, a lot like eyes open on, you know, the one that one loves. Why? Because now the mode is different. It's modo divino. It's a passive receiving of God's action. The reason is basically this. There are things that need to be done in the soul that we can't touch, we can't do. But the touch of the divine can do, is very eager to do. And so we come to Psalm 46, be still and know, and that biblical aspect of knowing, know that I am God. This step is so important, St. John of the Cross will say, that the devil will take every pain to obstruct it. And you can almost see in the figure of the book of Revelation, when the devil positions himself on the sands of the sea, how after crossing this kind of night of the sense, he's there waiting to pick us off. Even last night, going through some of this stuff, when you read St. John of the Cross, the teachings are so delicate that you kind of take everything in and you charge them. Oh, I got to get back to this, And you kneel down. First moments, I got a very important phone call to make. And it's about the spiritual welfare of my soul. It's been off the, you know, for a long time. And, I'll get to that. I got to get to that. Okay, well, let me just say a Hail Mary real quick. Praying the Hail Mary. I can't even make this phone call right now. The guys that I need to talk to, they're in a day of prayer. This is a big time temptation. He's positioning himself, the enemy, what St. John of the Cross will call between soul and the faculties and the acts of the soul, and spirit, which is the passive reception of God's working. He doesn't want that to happen. And there can be all kinds of both doubts, I'm not doing anything here, and also lights and apprehensions, neon, things that are, wow, and I'm going to go pursue that thing. And then we're, the point is basically this, and it will get at everything what we have with the call of seraphic perfection, because the seraphim will, in fact, encompass that image for us, and we'll get to St. John of the Cross teaching on that in just a second. But here it basically is, if the soul would have particular knowledge about anything, it won't advance. The reason is that God transcends the intellect and is incomprehensible and inaccessible to it. Hence, while the intellect is understanding, grabbing onto something. And even we're talking now about spiritual things. This is the step why, oftentimes, theologians will go off because of the fact of not being still and being real caught in a web of around Satan's finger. Hence, while the intellect is understanding, it is not approaching God, but withdrawing from him. latching onto some particular knowledge, even of spiritual things. It must withdraw from itself and from its knowledge so as to journey to God in faith by believing and not understanding. Faith is a light, but it transcends that of the intellect, a lot like the stars will transcend a flashlight shown up into the sky. And so there will be a leaving off of, not that it's contradicting reason in any way, but reason is a light that only goes so far. It's finite because we're finite, but faith will keep going. Because it is joined to God by faith and not by any other means, it reaches God more by not understanding than by understanding. Very important. So there's three things that get in this way. One are spiritual directors that don't know this step and recognizing it and counseling the soul to be still. Second is Satan himself, which will pull out all the stops so it doesn't happen. And third is the person himself, whereby just the fallenness of the flesh, and especially I'd say in our culture, can do, and especially for guys who are can do, get this job done. You won't ever get the job done. Only God will get the job done. You better be still. So an important teaching for us today. The image of the seraphim, get to it, because here's St. John of the Cross on it in the Ascent of Mount Carmel. In the sixth chapter of Isaiah, we read that the prophet saw a seraph at each side of God and that they each had six wings. With two wings, they covered their feet, which signified the blinding and quenching of the affections of the will for God. So just as we kind of shut down and put to sleep the intellect, so too we shut down or put to sleep the will with any affections, and that's even in spiritual things. Don't forget, what we do in the Marian vow is we divest the soul, dispossess the soul, complete poverty of the soul of merits and satisfactions. Insofar as we make that act, we posit ourselves in this position of these wings, so to speak. And we say that we're going to be doing this. They covered their faces, okay, with two wings they covered their faces, which signified the darkness of the intellect in God's presence. And with the two remaining wings they flew, as to indicate the flight of hope toward things that are not possessed, an elevation above everything outside of God that can be possessed, earthly or heavenly. Real brief, the via negativa of St. John of the Cross results in the little way of St. Therese, and that all is encompassed by Marian consecration. That's what Our Lady wants to happen, so that we become other Christs. So, beautiful journey, and let us get about the business of letting God do this work. May St. John of the Cross give us particular graces this day, both for good spiritual guidance and also for the resolve to enter through the thicket of suffering that will be very, very necessary to come to this union. Thank you.